the book of Ruth tonight. We'll try to move a little faster. I want to pick up a couple of these names tonight, please, and hope it'll be a help to you and a strength looking in the book of Ruth. Ruth's a tremendous book. You can stay on the book of Ruth for a year, I'm sure, in preaching, because we're not even scratching the surface of what we need to look at. And we're going to bring our attention to more things and focus there completely upon the last three characters more than we have the first ones. And the entire book and see what it is. The book of Ruth is a demonstration of the grace of God. That's really what it is. Because we'll be talking about that later. And we'll find out that Ruth found grace. And she did. She found grace. And we'll talk about that. It's a good picture of the grace of God. And we're not going to talk about Ruth particularly tonight as a person. We're going to look at some others. But please, in the book of Ruth, let's stand and read tonight the first chapter. And I'm going to skip down and read some different verses tonight. And we're going to go down to verse number 4. And that's where we start. Chapter 1, verse 4. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth, and they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to your mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with me, with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them and lifted up their voice, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And then the Bible said in verse 10, And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. You'd be seated. Father, tonight as we bow in your presence, we thank you for the reading of the Word of God, and Lord, for the book of Ruth as we studied it. And I pray, God, tonight it might be a challenge and a strength to us and an encouragement. Father, we might take the words that we may hear tonight, apply them to our heart, and help us to be bettered by it, and, Father, grow closer, stronger. May thy perfect will be done in our heart. May your name be lifted. Lord, may we be the vessel of honor we need to be tonight, bringing glory to your name. Touch this congregation. Touch those who are not here, those who are sick. God, I pray you'd have your way in their life. Raise them up. God, we'll give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name we humbly pray. Amen. Now tonight I want to look at a couple of characters, and one of them being Orpah, and the other one we'll try to look at Naomi. I'm taking them in an order for a purpose. Now there are seven characters. We've dealt with several of them, and we talked about Bethlehem Judas being a type of the church. Now we're going over this. I want to get the way back to fixing our mind again. It's a type of the church. We'll use that as a type of the church. And then these are the characters that we find here as a type of the members of the church. And we can find ourselves fit in this. Now, all of us will be in one of these categories, or maybe at times in our life, at different ones. And we can find where we stand before God by looking at these characters, by studying them. Now, we've looked at Elimelech. We've already put Elimelech as being a backslider who has not come back to God. And he has really died the sin unto death. God cut him off because he was saved. And he didn't listen to God. He went the wrong direction, got the wrong place. And so he's a type of church member who willfully sinned against God and left the place of bread, took his family into a foreign land, and taught them the things that they should not have been taught, by his lifestyle, and God cut him off. And then we studied Malon and Chilion. Malon is being sickly. He's a type of church member who's weak and not able. Remember now, he's not able. Weak Christians cannot stand. They don't stand. Why don't they stand? They can't stand. They're not able to stand. There's a lot of church folks that are not able to stand for the truth. They're weak-kneed and wobbly because they're weak. Amen. And they haven't grown in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior. They don't know enough about the Word of God to be strong. And so they're a type of the weak church member. Then we find Chilion, who is a type of that who has, what's his name mean? Pining. That means he's wasted away. In other words, he's a type of church member who's wasting their life, wasting their time. They're saved, but they're wasting their life. And remember what happened to the weak one. He died short of going back home. I didn't mention this when I was preaching on him. He died short. And what happened to the other one who was wasting his life? He died short. He died short of getting in the perfect will of God. Now, remember, Malon and Chilion were carried into Moab. They were not forced. Well, they were forced to go, but they did not choose it on their own. Remember? But after their dad died, they could have come back to Bethlehem. They could have come back to Bethlehem, but they chose not to, thinking everything's all right. And so they died down there. Now, I believe if Naomi had not come back, she would also have died in the land of Moab. But now Naomi is a type, we'll talk about her in a little bit, not right now, but we'll talk about her in a little bit. She's a type of that prodigal that's left God, but she got restitution. She got right. She went back. Amen. She's a type of the backslider who gets restored. Now, let's talk about one tonight by the name of Orpha. I read her here in the Word of God. Her name means back of the neck or turning. We'll look at that. Now, before we get started, I want to remind you of what Moab is. The Bible said Moab is God's washpot. Amen. Now, Moab's not a place. You remember I've said it several times in preaching over the years. Moab is not a place for a child of God. No child of God should go to a spiritual Moab or, in this particular place, the land of Moab. Moab is a place that's away from God. Moab is any place on the earth, if you will, spiritually speaking, that is not where the house of bread is or the place of Bethlehem. And so we don't want to be there. But to find out about Moab, the first time it's mentioned in the Bible, and find out where it come from, it's kind of interesting. Go back to the book of Genesis with me, to chapter 19 of the book of Genesis. And we'll show you where Moab come from. And where now we know that Moab, the land of Moab, actually the inhabitants of Moab are called the Moabites. You've heard of the Moabites, haven't you? Amen. Throughout the Bible. Here's where they got started. Genesis chapter 19. We'll just read quickly on this, and I'll give you a few things and a few tidbits about Moab for a minute, and then we'll talk about Orpha. And hopefully, the Lord willing, tonight we'll get into a little bit of Naomi. Maybe we'll get it all. We're just trying to hit the highlights of it. In Genesis chapter 19 and verse number 36, we'll turn to the last portion of the chapter. You can read this chapter when you get home. But Genesis chapter 19 and verse 36 says, "Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father." Now we know the story, how that Lot left of Sodom and Gomorrah, God rained fire and brimstone on it. Lot's wife turned back, and when she turned back, she turned into a pillar of salt. She didn't turn back, she looked back, excuse me. And she got turned into a pillar of salt. And they went to the mountain, didn't look back. And we know that now the Bible said that his two daughters, Lot's two daughters, they got Lot drunk, and now they're of child. Look at verse 37. "And the firstborn bare a son and called his name" what? Moab. That's the first time. Now you find where Moab come from. Moab come from the incestuous daughters of Lot. And it said the same is the father of the Moabites unto this day. Now you got that, hadn't you? You know where Moab is. Some of you haven't even questioned that while we was in the book of Ruth. Amen. We take too much for granted in the Bible. Like we already know it and we don't know nothing. Amen. We skip over so much And I do. I really do. And then one day it hits me like a ton of bricks, and I say, why in the world haven't I seen this before? But now what's happened? In verse 38, the Bible said, and the younger, she also bare a son and called his name Ben-Ami. Now notice who she's part of. The same is the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. Have you ever heard of the Ammonites? All right, now we got the Moabites and the Ammonites. Next time you hear them two names mentioned, the Moabites and the Ammonites, remember they come from Lot's daughters and from Lot. Okay, we've got that fixed in our mind. Now let's go over into the book of Numbers, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. We go to the book of Numbers, and when we get over there, let's go to chapter number 22. This is just some little tidbits about Moab to kind of get our bases fit tonight and the foundation set up so we can talk about Orpah and Ruth because they are Moabites. All right. And we're going into Numbers chapter 22. Let's look in verse number 10 and see what it says here. In Numbers 22 and 10 says, and Balaam said unto God, Balak the son of Zippor, king of who? Moab. Did you know Balak was the king of Moab? You heard about Balak. Balak tried to get Balaam to curse the people of God. Remember that? Amen. Now when you look at Balak, where did Balak come from? Moab. He was the king of Moab. And he said, has sent unto me saying, if you want some more scriptures on that, I can give them to you. Chapter 23 and verse number 7 to show you that Balak is the king. Chapter 23 and verse 7 said, and he took up his parable and said, Balak, the king of Moab, hath brought me from Aram out of the mountains of the east, saying, come, curse me, Jacob, and come, defy Israel. And it's also mentioned, you can write this one down, it's also mentioned over in the book of Joshua, chapter 24 and verse 9, that he is the king, or was the king, of Moab. So you'll find a little bit about it. Now, God has brought in some other things to our attention about Moab and about Israel. And I want to show you the thing about it, about Moab for a minute. Numbers chapter 25. Numbers chapter number 25. And verse number 1. Numbers 25 and 1 said, and Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. Now, the Moabites were a trouble to the Israelites. They began to commit whoredoms with the daughters down there. And the Bible said in verse 2, and they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods. And the people did eat and bow down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. You're seeing in chapter 25 that Israel began to get into the paganisms of the land of Moab. It was a wicked country. You understanding that? I'm trying to give you the background of where Ruth and where Orpah is. And now we're finding Elimelech and Mahlon and Chilion's gone. But now we're finding our story at the present time in the book of Ruth tonight that Naomi is coming to her senses in an ungodly land. You understand that? Do you understand now why God will cut you off? You go fooling around with the abominations of this world as a child of God, and I'll guarantee you won't stay out there long. If you belong to God tonight, you can't stay in Moab. If you belong to God tonight, you can't dwell back in Egypt. You may go through it, but if you ever become part of it, if you ever become part of Egypt, if you ever become part of Moab, God will cut you off because you will be a stumbling block, and you will be somebody that gets in the way to keep somebody from getting saved. Amen. And God will cut you off. And if you can stay in Moab till you die, I'll assure you one thing. You're a Moabite and you are not a child of God. Amen. Now, people don't have to be sliced that way, but you look at it in the Word of God. We find out it's so. God has proven it to us in the book of Ruth. God did not want them down in Moab. God did not tolerate them to stay in Moab, and God took them out of Moab. Three by the way of a grave, and one back out on their own, on the 2 feet. Amen. She wasn't the same as she come out of there. Of course, we find that God delivered one out of Moab at the same time. Matter of fact, God can take our bad instances and the bad things of our life, and God can make them for good. The only good thing that ever come out of Moab in the life of Ruth, or in the life of Naomi, Elimelech, Mahlon, and Chilion, was one little woman by the name of Ruth. Amen. God salvaged one Moabite. Okay, let's look a little bit more. Just to show you a little bit about it, go with me into the book of Deuteronomy, the fifth book of your Bible. And go over to the 34th chapter, which is your last chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. Now I want to show you something here that you might not have noticed. You see, sometimes we overlook a few things, and there's a lot of things that we can pick up out of our Bible that'll help us in, you know, in our everyday walk and talk. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 34, I want to read the first six verses. And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo to the top of Pisgah. That is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan. And all Naphtali, that's what sometimes I call it, or Naphtali. And the land of Ephraim and Manasseh. And all the land of Judah unto the utmost sea. And the south and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. Notice verse 5. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. The Bible said in verse 6, and he buried him in a valley, in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. So you find that Moses even died at Moab, in the valley, at the land of Moab, and he was buried in Moab. Amen. Right in the valley of it. And that's God's washpot. Amen. He died short of Canaan land. Amen. Why? He sinned against God. He smote the rock twice when he should have spoken to it. Amen. Instead of smiting it. So God would not let that go. And there's a whole lot into that I'm not going to get into tonight. Got to go over now, and I want to show you something else, and then we'll get back into the book of Ruth. Judges, the book right before the book of Ruth. The book of Judges, chapter number 10. Now we're talking about when the judges ruled. Every man did that which is right in his own eyes. They'd get in trouble. God would deliver them, give them a judge and deliver them out. They'd go back into sin and cry unto God, and God would send them a judge and deliver them out. Over and over this happened. But chapter 10 and verse number 6 of the book of Judges. And the children of Israel did evil. You see that? Again. Evil what? Again. Amen. Constantly. You said, how about them rascals? Why did they keep doing it? Well, don't you do it? Amen. We want to put down the Israelites so bad sometimes. And I look at it and I get disgusted at them. Look to me like they'd live better and cleaner than they did. And then I look at myself. Why don't I? Why haven't you? And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam and Ashtaroth and the gods of Syria and the gods of Zidon and the gods of Moab and the gods of the children of Ammon. Now Ammon, have we not seen Ammon before? Who's Ammon? Ammon comes from Lot's daughter, one of the daughters, remember, the Ammonites, and the gods of the Philistines, and forsook the Lord and served Him. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and He what? Sold them into the hands of the Philistines and in the hands of the children of Ammon. I kind of feel like I know what's happened. God sold us into the hands of somebody. Amen. Verse 8, and that year they vexed and oppressed the children of Israel 18 years. All the children of Israel that were on the other side of Jordan in the land of the Amorites, which is in Gilead. And you can go on and on and on. You can find some things that happened there. But back up to chapter 3 of the book of Judges. Back up to chapter 3 of the book of Judges. And we'll find this wasn't the first time. It's happened before. Judges chapter 3 and verse number 12. The Bible said, and the children of Israel did evil again. Now, we're a previous chapter to what we just had a while ago. In the sight of the Lord, and the Lord strengthened Eglon. You ever heard of Eglon? The king of Moab. God used Moab many times to come up against the Israelites because they had sinned against God. And God would, he could get their attention down there. I'm not going to say any more about Moab. You can go home and pick up all you can. Look at it. There's a lot of places. Moab goes on past the book of Ruth. I'm just bringing you a few little instances before the book of Ruth. And we may not get nobody, but this we'll try just a little bit to go a little further. Orpah. Her name means back of the neck. Or turning. Back of the neck. Now, if you notice in verse number 7, in verse number 7 of Ruth chapter 1, wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. This is Naomi. And they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. Notice verse 8, and Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law. Remember, Orpah is making a bid or making a play to go back to Bethlehem. She looks like she's a full-fledged family member, does she not? She looks as much now, when you're standing beside Naomi, as any other Jew would look like. She looks as much genuine as any of the others. Matter of fact, her and Ruth both blended in. They are married in the family. They're married in. They're in there. And just look at the family, you'd say, that's the family of Elimelech. That is the family that came out of Bethlehem. Now, knowing that them two didn't, but now they're going back. It looks like that they're going in the direction and Orpah's going with them right along with everything. And then we get down a little bit and she says in verse 8, go, return each to his mother, to her mother's house. And said, the Lord deal kindly with you as you've dealt with the dead and with me. I believe Naomi's just saying some kind words about Orpah. I believe she must have been, a fairly decent wife. And I don't see anything that Naomi is criticizing Ruth or Orpah for. Do you? She's commending her. So she fit in the family, I'd say, pretty well. She fit in. In verse 9 it said, the Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she, that's Naomi, kissed them. And then the Bible said, and they, which I take is all three of them, they lifted up their voice and wept. Now, Orpah is a type of a church member that's got involved, but remember that Orpah is still a Moabite. She's not saved. She's a type of a person who's just joined in the crowd, just joined the church. Our churches are filled with people who have just joined the church and had baptism, amen, but no second birth, no new birth. No salvation. That's who Orpah's a type of. She's a Moabite that has got a, she's become a churchite, I guess is the word we want to say tonight. Amen? Not in the language, I guess, but anyway, she's come out of the world, so to speak, and got in the church. She's got a little churchy. She's got what the world says, a little religion. Amen? In this modern day, you get a little, start going to church and they call you, you're getting religion. Well, I got more than religion. I got saved. And I understand what the world says. They don't understand it anyhow. So I understand why they come up with these terms. But now, Orpah is a part of the family. She's not been born into the family. Can you find a place where she's been born in the family? No. She is born in Moab. She's a Moabitess. She's never got into it. Now, there's a difference between her and Ruth. We'll talk about that when we get to Ruth. But she is part of the family of Moab, but she's joined in with the church folks. She's going to church. Well, when it says they lifted up their voice and wept, amen, lifting up their voice, I mean, I take that as the praise and amen. Some of the old people of the world that's got in the church and never been saved, some of them will even praise God every once in a while. They lift their voice. They'll sing in the choir. Amen. You said, preacher, you're talking about me? Now, I'm not talking about nobody. I'm telling you about Orpha. If it happens to fit with you tonight, then I hope God's ringing your number. I'm not doing it. Amen. So I don't know. I go by your testimony, what you told me. But I pray tonight that God will speak. So they lift up their voice and wept. I mean, they begin to worship. She's a type of one who worship with church folks. You got it? There's a lot of worldly people that's never been saved that'll say amen. Amen. They'll sing in the choir. I've even heard of them singing gospel songs and giving testimonies. Amen. Amen. Some of them, they may not give you a testimony that you want to hear or what they need to say, but they pretty well know. I was listening to a preacher one time, and he talked to a woman, and he asked her, said, ma'am, he said, have you ever been saved? Have you ever been born? Have you ever been saved? That's the question he asked. Have you ever been saved? She said, oh, sure, preacher, 3 times. So he said, well, she must be confused, so I'm going to ask her some questions. How about the first time you got saved? Tell me about it. She said, well, that's when I was young. The first child I had, I like to die in childbirth, and God saved me out of it. Amen. So he said, all right, what about the second time you got saved? She said, well, the second time, preacher, she said, I had an automobile accident, and I like to die, and they thought I was going to die. But he spared me, he saved me out of death. And he said, well, surely the third time is going to be right. And he said, now, ma'am, what about the third time? And he was expecting to hear what he wanted to hear. And she said, well, the third time I had a heart attack, and the Lord saved me. This never did give him a type, never did give him a testimony of salvation. So there's a lot of people that claim that they've got saved, that they've not got saved. They've got in the church, got a testimony to some degree. They've joined in, they sing in the choir. They can amen everything. Amen. Now don't you sit there next time, and I don't want to put a damper on your amens. Matter of fact, we've got too many dampers on them now. But I'm trying to say, Orpha, she's the type of a church member that's joined in but never got saved. See, she got born, she only had one birth, and that was down in Moab. And she wasn't a genuine born-again child of God. So then the Bible said, in verse number 10, this is what they said, and they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And I believe if Orpha had ever, maybe she had some reserve in her mind, maybe she had some question marks in her head, but she's willing now because of the affinity she's gotten now with Naomi and with the church folk, so to speak. And so she's just part of that. She's part of the family. You know, you can get around people, you can become part of the family. Amen. And one way to get in to be a part of it is to marry into it, and that's what she done. I don't care about what you think about all the family tonight, but you know your in-laws, you may have your own ideas about them, but they're part of the family. It don't make no difference whether you like them or not. They're part of the family. Ain't that right? And I used to tell my mother-in-law all the time, I said, of all laws God made, the worst is a mother-in-law. Oh, she'd get up on her haunches on that one. Amen. I used to tell her that all the time. When I wanted to get preached to, I'd tell her that. All laws God made, the worst is a mother-in-law. And of course, I don't know why she never did jump up and say the worst I've ever met has been a son-in-law. I don't know why she didn't say it. Amen. But it's probably so. Amen. But I'm telling you, and I'm not putting that down, but you know when that happens, it's family. You're part of the family. So Orpha is part of the family. She's accepted in the family. She's part of the family. Whether like it or not, part of the family. And so, they're kind of blended in. They got an affinity. Surely Orpha had some kind of love for Naomi. Surely Naomi had some sort of love for Orpha. You got to have, right? Or not be right. There's something wrong with you. There's some kind of affinity. I don't care. I don't care what you have. You'd have a half a dozen. in your family, and they didn't be married four or five times, but there's some kind of an affinity between all of them. Amen. It may not be close knit to some of them, but it's there. Well, amen. Before I get you mad at me, I'll just go on.
Amen.
But you understand what I'm talking about, don't you? I'm not out of line. I'm not out of line. I'm with the Word of God. And so I'm saying tonight that Orpha is right there, you see. She is in that family. She's looking just like them. She's going right along, and she even makes the promise, well, look, I'll be with you from now on. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm going to stay with you. Matter of fact, I'm going with you. That's what she says in verse 10. She says, I'm going to go return to your people. I'm going to go to your people. Well, then, of course, Naomi, she wants to get into this a little bit deeper. She's going back to Bethlehem. She's going to be in charge of these two. And this is her responsibility, taking them back to Bethlehem. I'm sure she wants to get them back there. So she begins to question just a little bit more. She gets down to verse number 14. And it said, and they lifted up their voice and wept again. So they cried together. Family does that, don't they? Family will rejoice together. Family will cry together. Amen. Some of the best times I've ever had has been with my family. When everything was going well. Some of the worst times I've ever had in my life was when it wasn't going so well. I've had some good times in the church, and I've had some bad times in the church, but some of the worst times I've ever experienced in my life has been in my family, my own family, when the bottom drops out. Ain't nothing going to tire your soul up like family. Amen. I may worry about your family, you may worry about mine, but there ain't nobody going to lose the sleep and the food that I'm going to lose over my own family, and you over yours. Right? Amen. You can ask people to pray for you, but nobody knows what you're going through with you and your family. I look at families sometimes, I see them laughing and cutting up, and they look like they're so close together, and then years go by, and I find out that there was such a war among all of them. And somebody says, I like that family right there. They seem to be close-knit. Let me tell you something. Brother, they ain't none of them on the face of the earth. All families have problems. And when we get to the place that we recognize it and know that it has to be put before God, but we, our families, all of us need to stay before God. We need to get them before God. We need to keep ourselves before God, or our families are not going to operate. They're going to fall apart. Well, I didn't know I was going to get into all that. Got to meddling. But anyhow, here's Orpha. Orpha now, she's finally come to her senses. And she realizes now, hey, I'm going to leave my people. I'm going to leave my family. I'm going to leave my mother and my father, because don't say nothing about them not being there. I'm going to leave my culture. My culture is not the same as over in Bethlehem. I don't know what it's like in Bethlehem. I've always been in Moab. So she begins to look at it, and the Bible said, and they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpha kissed her mother-in-law. When you ever see this, this reminds me of when Judas kissed Jesus. She kissed her. And so here's what happened. But Ruth, the Bible said, clave unto her. But verse number 15 explains it. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people. Who were her people? Moab. Who are your people? God's people. Amen. That's the difference. Ruth's people now are God's people. You see, there's a difference. But Orpha's people still down in Moab. And so it said, and she said, behold, thy sister's gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Hey, you got that tonight? She was not saved. She was a type of a person who had just joined the church, got involved in the church, and then finally down the road, got out of the church. How many folks have you met down through life's journey that maybe stayed in church 10 years, 5 years? Now this is just a 10-year period here. But stayed in the church maybe 20 years. And today if you went to look for them, they hadn't been in church in the last 10 years, the last 15 years. And 20 years ago they taught Sunday school. 30 years ago they went to the house of God regularly, constantly, every service. And now they will not even darken the door of the church. And now they talk against God.
talk about God and talk filthy and got a filthy mouth. You said, what's wrong with them? They're worldly. They're lost. You said, you really believe that? I do. And I'll tell you why. If they're saved, they won't make it that far. You know what happens to you if you get out of the will of God tonight and you decide you're going to quit the church and you are saved? If you're saved tonight and you decide, and I'm not telling you tonight that you can't do it. Anybody in this church is a candidate to go to Moab. You just let the right circumstance come up in your life. You just let the right thing happen in your life. You just let the right thing at the right time come along and you're gone. Everybody in this building tonight could be sitting, and you are sitting on the pew, but you could be out of church in the next 6 months, period. You could be. Not me, preacher. Don't boast. Don't brag. You don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't know what you're going to face next week. You don't know what you're going to face next year. And in the course of a 6 month period, you could get in the place that you don't even want to be at the house of God. You could be saved and be that way. That's the type of Elimelech. But if you, after being in church for many years, have decided you're going to get out of the church and not go back because you've got your feelings hurt and you got disturbed and got upset and something happened to your life and it got all topsy-turvy and you left, and you go out there and you stay and you stay and you stay and you don't become miserable and God don't go to whipping on you, you'd mark it down, you was never born again. But I'll tell you one thing, you go out there and God's going to work on you day in and day out, night after night, week after week, your bed's going to get short, you can't sleep in it, and your food ain't going to do you any good. And if you keep on regarding that thought tonight in your heart, and you keep on going and saying, I'm not going to pay any attention to God, God will start giving you a few things, and He'll start cutting you off. Amen. And God said, if that's what you're going to be, a stumbling block because you are saved, God said, I'll cut you off. But now, if your mind is set in the world and you've never been born again, and you go back to your gods and you go back to your country, brother, you go back to your people, I want to tell you, that's where you're from to start with. Listen, there's where you'll end up dying. Not sure. You may fill your days out. But I'm telling you, it's because God don't know you. Amen. Now, a lot of people have problems with this. I don't. Got that said a long time ago. That's why I've got family members. I've got a brother in particular. He just declares he got saved when he's just a young little boy. I wouldn't even have to pull my shoes off tonight to tell you, and I'd get my two hands out and tell you the times he'd been in church in 40 years. But you talk to him, saved. Going to heaven? Sure. Staying in Moab. If he don't get saved, he'll die in Moab without God. Understand what I'm saying? I'm telling you the truth, ladies and gentlemen. Orpha didn't have it. She didn't have the goods. She didn't have the goods. She's a type of a worldly person that's just turned over a new leaf. Started getting a good case of doing betters. Decided they're going to quit sinning. Type of drunkard that's quit drinking. Just give up his drink. Type of drug addict that just quit taking drugs. Classified today in our modern times as rehabilitated. You understand? And there are a lot of those that sure are. Our churches are filled with people like that. They'll die and go to hell without God. They certainly will. Our churches are filled with that. Our churches, you'd be surprised. That's why when us preachers preach, and we say if on a Sunday morning the rapture takes place, some church member's going to go home and wonder what happened up at the other church. Because none of them went. You said you believe it's that far? I believe it's that far. Amen. There's going to be a lot of people wondering what happened. They look around and said, where'd Sister So-and-so go? Where'd Brother So-and-so go? Three or four and said, what'd they do? Leave early? I believe it'll happen so fast you won't see them go through the ceiling. look over and said, who? They left their clothes. Amen. Got out of here. Yeah. Yeah, twinkling eye. That's pretty fast, isn't it? Amen. The door won't open. Won't be no slamming back there. Gone. Through the roof. You believe that? Yeah, I believe that. Amen. So I'm telling you, there's some congregations won't never know what happened. Amen. And they'll have to take the news media about it. Amen. I'd like to think here we'd have a cleaned out house. Amen. I'd like to think that. Amen. I'm looking for that, hoping that. And I hope you don't disappoint me. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Hope you don't disappoint me. I hope none of you disappoint me. Don't make it to heaven. Oh, don't disappoint me. Amen. Go with me. Praise God to know. I'm glad I'm saved. Well, we didn't get to Miss Naomi. I didn't know we were going to spend as much time on Orpha. But anyhow, she's a type. Now, we've seen different worlds in these people, aren't we? Different worlds. And we're going to see it as we go on. Amen. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes, stand our feet, please, and let her play. Let these ladies play for us, and as they play, if there's something in your heart and life that needs to be settled, won't you come on down here and get it settled? I'm glad I can say tonight that I've been birthed into the family of God. I might have been born in Moab or the world. Thank God I've had another birth since then. I've been born twice. Orpha had only been born once. And she went back to her heart's desire and to her nativity. That's where she went back. She went back to the land. Went back to her gods. Because she didn't know our God.